to come and lead us in reflecting on this. Jean, 2023, it's your 18th year as a reader?
No, 23rd.
23rd year as a reader. Well, that's easy then to remember, isn't it?
Yes, because it was 2000.
Brilliant. Let's pray for you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Jean. We thank you for being with her in her preparation. And we ask that you would bless her and encourage her, that you would speak clearly through her in these moments, that we might hear and understand your word to us for today. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bring it down a bit.
Thank you.
On your height. There you go.
There's no stool behind here today. Oh, yes, there is. No. Anyway, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. The church is gradually filling up this morning, so that's great. Happy New Year. Blessed New Year. I do pray the Lord's blessing upon you all. Last Sunday, Christmas Day, I bet we all had lots of gifts, and the children that we know were very, very excited. But the amazing thing about last Sunday is that God's gift to us all on Christmas morning still continues. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And this Sunday, first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of the new year, it's also called Covenant Sunday. And we're going to see how this story that Alan's just read links in with understanding the benefits of a covenant relationship with Jesus. And we're going to look at the relationship, the response of the shepherds, the parents, Mary, and then how we can respond ourselves. So the shepherds' response. There were shepherds in the fields nearby. This joyous event was not announced to high-ranking officials in the palace, but to lowly shepherds working the night shift. They were doing a dull and very dangerous work at night, and they were at the bottom of the social scale in Israel. Earlier in the previous chapter, Mary's song had said, God has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He certainly lifted up the shepherds that night. It was a truly miraculous announcement to these few men. One commentary even suggests they may have been shepherds who supplied the lambs that were sacrificed in the temple for the forgiveness of sin. Here, the angels invite those same shepherds to greet the baby, who was in fact the Lamb of God, who was to take away the sin of the world forever. And as the angels disappeared, the shepherds' world went dark again. You can imagine how they must have been feeling as they picked themselves off the ground and dusted themselves down and pinched themselves to make sure they were still all right and still there. And Luke records for us their responses to the news the angels brought. Let's go. Let's see. And then we read later, they said, let's tell. Well, 5 years ago it is now that several people in our fellowship heard the call to go to St. John's. They actively responded to God's call to set up that church once again. And now it's growing and blessing Chatham Centre, and things are really happening there. And you've had an Alpha course, haven't you? So things happen when people respond to what God calls them. So the shepherds and those who went to St. John's could have made excuses. They could easily have said, I don't believe God has really spoken to me at all. Or the shepherds could have said, oh, we've got to find someone to take care of the sheep before we go and see. Or regarding their ministry at Pip and Jim's, people could have said, I would like to go, but I'm needed here at Pip and Jim's. But instead, the shepherds were curious and they went to see for themselves. And like the fisherman and the tax collector and others 30 years later, they respond to the call and praise God with their feet by going to check the facts for themselves. And of course, they find it exactly as the angel has said. Their curiosity led to the wonderful joy of seeing their Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And it may be that you've got friends who are slightly curious about the Christian faith. This week, they can have their curiosity satisfied if you help get them on the Alpha course that starts this Thursday evening here. There's still time to join. Once the shepherds had seen the baby with their own eyes, their curiosity was satisfied to such an extent that they passed the good news on to other people. Seeing really was believing. So these lowly shepherds, without any religious training whatsoever, became the first evangelists, the first preachers, if you like, telling the news of the newborn king. And all who heard their news was amazed. So the shepherds actively responded to the divine angelic revelation by going, seeing, and telling. And then we have Mary's response. It's probable that this account was shared by Mary herself, as we have these little brief, simple touches regarding her own feelings. Picture her having laboured actively all night to bring the Christ child into the world. Now she quietly watches as events unfold. She was probably a young teenage girl, but she made herself available to God by saying, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary therefore represents a quieter response to divine revelation, to those who make themselves available to God. And then we read, she treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them. She weighed them in her mind, trying to understand what it meant concerning her child. She kept all these treasures like treasures in a treasure box. Mary had heard the words of the angel Gabriel about the baby she was going to have, and now she hears the report of the shepherds confirming everything that she'd heard. And still she feels puzzled and needs time to fathom the meaning of it all. Many years later, in fact, 12 years later, when she and Joseph found their 12-year-old son Jesus in the temple, Luke tells us that Mary responds in the same way. She treasured all these things in her heart. Some of us have liked that new carol fairly recently, Mark Lowry's Mary, Did You Know? In fact, Waterslade Sings sang it beautifully 2 weeks ago. But did she know what her son was going to be in the future? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save your sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. They're powerful words. Did Mary have an awareness of what her son, what the future held for him, the one who would be called the Son of God? And then a few verses after our reading, which you could look up later, we see the elderly Simeon in the temple saying, "Blessed the family, blessed the baby Jesus, and said to his mother Mary, 'Behold, this child is appointed to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul as well.'" So Mary's response to the divine miracle was a quieter response, thinking deeply, pondering, holding all these things in her heart like treasures, and waiting in quiet trust for God to work things out, whether they be future sorrow mingled with present joy. And yet in this quiet response, making herself available to God as the Lord's servant. And then we have the parents' response to the law. Both Mary and Joseph took their son, the baby Jesus, to be circumcised according to Jewish law and to be named. All firstborn children were dedicated to God, and an animal was sacrificed in their place, and they were to serve God all their lives. And Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, obeyed the law of Israel. So Jesus had the right to live as a member of the family of God's ancient chosen people. Well, as I've already mentioned, today is Covenant Sunday, and this response of Mary and Joseph reminds us that they were fulfilling God's covenant with Abraham hundreds of years before, which is found in Genesis 17. God said,
"This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. It will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." So by submitting to circumcision, Abraham was signifying that he was consecrating himself and his offspring in the service of the Lord. And God, in turn, was submitting himself and committing himself to the care and protection of his people. Covenant is a two-way thing, so bear that in mind in a little while. The promise God gave Abraham stated that Abraham would be the father of many nations and that the entire world would be blessed through him. And that blessing is true and has come down to us. This covenant promise was fulfilled in Jesus. And through Jesus, the servant king, the whole world has indeed been blessed. So by the response of the parents, Jesus is initiated into the Jewish faith through this covenant of circumcision. On the one part, the parents promised that Jesus would serve God in fulfilling the duties of the faith. And on the other part, he, Jesus, would be entitled to all the privileges of a son of Abraham. So this physical act was a sign that the individual stood in covenant relationship with God. Fortunately, you men amongst us don't have to have physical circumcision now to be in a covenant relationship with God. The death of Christ makes it clear that circumcision is no longer necessary. Paul talks about this in Colossians 2. He talks about a circumcision made without hands. "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done with hands, but with the circumcision done by Christ." In other words, we go through a spiritual circumcision, and a commitment to God is written in our hearts, not on our bodies. Also at this circumcision ceremony, the baby is named. And in that culture, names had something really important attached to them. They believed the person's identity was signified by the name. It expressed something of their personality and character. So the baby was called Jesus because that's the name the angel gave him. And it comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means he saves. How true it is, Jesus, he saves, the savior of the world. It truly is a wonderful name. So the parents respond to God's covenant law by obediently doing what the law required through circumcision and the naming of their child. So what about us? Well, we obviously don't live under Jewish law, but certainly we are described in many places as being enslaved to another law, the law of sin. Paul in Romans 6 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." So Paul is telling us that we are not under the law of sin any longer. Jesus has saved us and redeemed us from the law. So we today can be in a covenant relationship with Father God. Amazingly, God goes even further than this and gives us the right to be adopted as his children. Paul writing to Galatians 3, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And in the next chapter, Paul links being part of God's family with the birth of Jesus. He writes, "When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters." No longer slaves, as Paul describes in Romans, but sons of Father God. Romans 8, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifying with our spirit that we are God's children. And now, if we are God's children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So now we have not only entered into a covenant relationship, but actually adopted into God's family. We've been given a fresh start. How appropriate that is, this new day of 2023. And even more, God goes further and says we've entered into our inheritance. We've come of age. It's a bit like the prodigal son who asked for his share of the inheritance because he'd presumably become an adult. God has not only pardoned us, but given us the full rights of sons and daughters. The message puts it so well. Doesn't the privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Do you feel as if you've got complete access to all that God has for us? Intimate conversation, what a lovely phrase. Prayer, one of the proofs of our adoption into God's family. And of course, the Holy Spirit is another proof, and there are many more. And the Holy Spirit is not a proof just of our sonship, but it's a consequence of our sonship. So amazingly, our state of slavery and minority is past, and we have now entered into the full rights of the adult son of God. God's gift last Sunday will keep on giving us all these other benefits of sonship, a wonderful inheritance, freedom from sin, relationship, the privilege of intimate conversation with God himself. This is pure gift. We cannot earn it, and we certainly don't deserve it. We can only give thanks and share this gift with others. This is indeed a good time to invite people to Alpha. So for us, what is our response? Well, we could respond like the shepherds who were curious and actively follow God's call by going, seeing, and then telling. Or we might find it more appropriate to respond like Mary, who made herself available and treasured all these things in her heart. Or our response this New Year's Day may be to believe the news that the angels gave the shepherds and receive Christ into our hearts, perhaps for the first time, and be given the new name of Christian that identifies us with the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. And then we can, like the parents of Jesus, willingly enter into this covenant agreement between ourselves and Father God. And as we say this covenant prayer together, let's do so with the full assurance that we are God's adopted children, that we are sons and daughters of the living God and heirs of him who bears his name, Christ's ones, that our identity is tied up with Jesus. And let us remember that we are entering into a two-way agreement with the Lord. As we offer ourselves to him in service at the beginning of this new year, he in turn promises to us his loving presence and gives us complete access to all the resources of heaven and all the rights that come with being an inheritor with Christ. Much to be thankful for and much to give us pause for thought as we join in this covenant agreement. Hallelujah.